Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is Prince Nestor sitting in for Sunny and broadcasting from Washington. Welcome to the April 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We have plenty of big news today in the world of international soccer. Let's start off with news that broke just a few hours ago. Tottenham Hotspur manager Jose Mourinho has been fired after 17 months at the helm. Tottenham stands at 7th place in Premier League standings after the team secured a 2-2 draw with Everton on Friday. Here's Jose Mourinho's take on that match, his last with Tottenham.
It was a game between two teams that they have lots of similarities. We are very similar teams in many aspects. That's why the normality between us is we beat them last season, I think, 1-0. We lose this season 1-0. We draw 4-4. One more goal in extra time. We drew 2-2. Teams capable to score goals. Teams that concede two. Very similarities. I think a good game where both teams, they try to win it, and probably a fair result.
That's Spurs' head coach Jose Mourinho following his team's draw against Everton. Mourinho's dismissal comes just 6 days before the League Cup final. And it was announced less than 24 hours after another top story broke. The announcement that Tottenham and 11 other top teams in the UK and Europe are creating a new Super League. That Super League has the football world in an uproar. Fans, sports writers and many sports officials are condemning the plan. Even British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has weighed in.
We're going to look at everything that we can do with the football authorities to make sure that this doesn't go ahead in the way that it's currently being proposed. I don't think that it is good news for fans. I don't think it's good news for football in this country. And look, don't forget, these clubs are not just great global brands. Of course they're great global brands. They're also clubs that have originated historically from their towns, from their cities, from their local communities. They should have a link with those fans and with the fan base in those communities. So it is very, very important that continues to be the case. I don't like the look of these proposals, and we'll be consulting about what we can do.
David Bernstein, the former head of the UK Football Association, sees the move as an attempt to cope with the economic damage the coronavirus pandemic caused football.
So I think that this is a way of dealing with a desperate situation, which COVID has accentuated. And of course, one of the things that hasn't happened in football, I thought it might do, but it hasn't, there's been no wages control. There's been no reduction in massive players' wages during this difficult period when clubs' incomes have gone down. So, you know, the whole industry has sort of contrived to produce a sort of critical situation where certainly greed is a factor, but I think desperation is as well.
Bernstein opposes the planned league and thinks there should be penalties on players and teams that take part.
I would say that world football needs to get its act together and put as much pressure on these clubs and the players to make sure this doesn't happen. And I would support some drastic matters such as barring players playing international football if they play for clubs who break away like this. So, but I mean, this is a very difficult route is going to be followed, and it will be complex and expensive and very divisive.
British fans are unhappy with the plan, the AP reports. Several fans were vocal about it at Wembley Stadium before the FA Cup semi-final match between Southampton and Leicester City. Fintan Muneri is a Southampton fan.
When you take a league and you make it a bit of a closed shop, it's just completely unfair. It defeats the point of competitive football. It's like the idea that you make the Premier League a kind of American-style league where there's no relegation, there's no promotion. It's just ridiculous. I don't think European clubs who have history in Europe should be able to rest on that history going forwards.
And Pascal Mola is a Leicester fan.
Of
of course you don't like that idea. I think I speak for most Leicester fans as well. We don't like this. It seems like a lot of the big boys don't like the idea of smaller clubs great crashing their party and taking away some of their revenue, TV revenue. But I think hopefully other clubs will fight it. I don't know. We'll have to see on that one.
The Super League will include the Premier League's Liverpool, Manchester United, Manchester City, Chelsea, Arsenal and Tottenham Hotspur, along with Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, Barcelona, Inter Milan, AC Milan and Juventus. It is expected that three more teams will join. The 15 members and five other clubs that qualify annually will participate in Super League play. They'll split into two groups of 10 teams to play midweek matches, eventually progressing to quarterfinals and then knockout rounds. One of the criticisms of the league is that it will be something of a quote-unquote closed shop, with the 15 founding teams guaranteed to participate. U.S. investment bank J.P. Morgan on Monday told Reuters that it is financing the new league. The Super League club said the founding members would share 3.5 billion euros to quote-unquote support their infrastructure investment plans and to offset the impact of the COVID pandemic. End of quote.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Eliud Kipchoge has shown he remains the boss of the marathon by winning the NN Mission Marathon in a world-leading time of 2 hours, 4 minutes and 30 seconds in the Netherlands on Sunday. The Kenyan world record holder showed he's once again on top after the disappointment of 8th place in the London Marathon in October. Andy Edwards watched the action live, and here are his reflections on the Kipchoge comeback. Sporty greetings, Andy.
Sporty greetings, Prince. Now we know. Eliud Kipchoge looked as good as ever as he beat one of his fellow Kenyan training partners, the promising Jonathan Korir, by just over 2 minutes in the race staged around the Twente Enschede Airport, now ghostly quiet because of the pandemic. Eritrea's Goitom Kifle was third, almost 4 minutes behind the winner. And there was also a notable performance from the 2012 Olympic champion in the marathon, Stephen Kiprotich. The Ugandan finished fifth in 2 hours, 9 minutes and 4 seconds, almost a minute ahead of his compatriot, Jeffrey Kusuro. Both men could figure highly in the Olympic marathon this year, provided, that is, the games take place. Conditions were ideal. A touch of wind, but a starting temperature of 4 degrees centigrade is just what any elite marathoner would have wanted, especially for those for whom this was a last chance to run an Olympic qualifying time. Eliud Kipchoge has already been selected for the Kenyan Olympic team, and he felt good from the start.
The conditions were really good, a bit windy, but all in all is that I have no complaint. All of us, we ran in the same conditions. Always I don't want to complain, because a race is a race, and we are running as one. We are running on the same course. I can say the race was really perfect.
By halfway, reached in 61 minutes 43, good going on the circuit, which mostly consisted of airport runways and side roads, Kipchoge had one of his training partners, Jonathan Korir, for company, with the pacemaker, Philemon Kacharan, playing his supporting role well. Eliud Kipchoge flowed, as he does at his best. Relaxed, economical style, but the power is there. The combined product of so much training, dedication, but also always training and racing with purpose. The goal was simple, as the Olympic champion confirmed soon after crossing the line. After the race venue had to be changed from the German city of Hamburg to Twente Enschede in the Netherlands, now was the time to show he was on course to defend his Olympic title.
This was the real test. towards Tokyo Olympics. It's a real test, and it's a good marathon actually to happen even some few months towards the Olympics for to test your fitness. Above all is that the plans are going on. I'm going back to Kenya, talk to the right people to see how my trainings will be. Because I have a good team, I have my good coach, good management, good technical team.
For once, there was no East African domination in the women's race. Victory going to the experienced Katja Steinruck of Germany in 2 hours 25.59. The best African performer was Kenya's Gladys Chessia, who faded in the second half to finish eighth, over 4 minutes behind. Given the challenges posed by the pandemic and then the switch to a new venue in a different country within the past fortnight, the event organisers also deserve high praise. It was a memorable Sunday morning, as the women's winner Katja Steinruck reflected.
It's an amazing feeling to win such a great race together with Eliud Kipchoge. It's so amazing when he was running beside us and he passed us, and I thought, oh God, this guy, he's running so easy. How does he do it? It's so great.
The Men's Olympic Marathon is scheduled for Sunday, August the 8th, in Sapporo in Japan. If the Games do take place, Eliud Kipchoge's performance in the NN Mission Marathon showed he should stand on the start line once again as favourite. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thanks, Andy and Prince Nestor. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09.05 and 20.05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of VOA's African Beat Music Show. Still on the African beat, Nigerian striker Kelechi Iheanacho scored his 15th goal of the season as Leicester City defeated Southampton 1-0 in the FA Cup semi-final match played on Saturday. The 24-year-old forward separated both teams at the Wembley Stadium with his 55th minute strike. Since his FA Cup debut in January 2016, Iheanacho has now scored 14 goals in 19 games. The second half strike also made Iheanacho the latest African star to score at Wembley in an FA Cup game, after Moroccan international Hakim Ziyech scored Chelsea's only goal against Manchester City. The Blues were deserved winners in the capital as they dominated Pep Guardiola's side, ending their hopes of a quadruple this season in the process. Chelsea reached their fourth FA Cup final in the last 5 seasons, and their new manager Thomas Tuchel was in high spirits at full time.
This was a very, very strong performance. I'm very happy and very proud. We played an excellent 35 minutes in the first half. Then we had to suffer 10 minutes of some easy ball losses and of course the quality from City. Then we played another half an hour so strong. We deserved the lead, deserved to win, could be even one goal higher. And then, okay, the last 15 minutes we suffered a lot because they played a lot of risk and play with many offensive players, and we were becoming a bit tired. But it was a very, very strong performance. I'm very happy for my team, very proud that they performed on this level like this today. We wanted to enjoy the extra competition we had. We know that we are in Champions League semi-final and in the race for the top four. And we said, okay, let's take this as an opportunity to show up on the highest level. Let's see where we are. And they did, and it was a very, very good game.
Then Chelsea's boss Thomas Tuchel expressing his delight at reaching the FA Cup final with Chelsea after staying off Manchester City at Wembley. City have now been eliminated at the semi-final stage in 3 of their 5 seasons under manager Pep Guardiola, with the team that has knocked them out on 2 other occasions went on to win the competition. English football of Ghanaian descent Aiden Ketia's stupid time goal withstood VAR review as Arsenal deprived Fulham of a monster result to the 1-1 draw at the Emirates Stadium on Sunday. Nigerian striker Josh Maja converted a penalty as VAR took a goal away from Arsenal and upheld a spot kick awarded to Fulham in a 1 London derby. The Gunners are now in danger of finishing bottom half despite the point and have 46 points, 4 back of 7th and 1 ahead of 10th place Leeds United. Tottenham, Hotspur and Everton played out to a thrilling 2-1 draw at Goodison Park, with Harry Kane and Gylfie Sigurdsson both scoring twice in a wide-open contest. The two goals also saw England captain Kane move too clear of Egyptian playmaker Mo Salah's 19 in the race for the Premier League Golden Boot. Despite the teams playing an entertaining match, neither will likely be happy with the outcome, as a single point did not help Everton or Tottenham in their quest for European football next season. The Toffees remain in 8th place with 49 points, and Spurs, who saw Kane limp off in second half stoppage time with an apparent injury, are in 7th on 50 points.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Liverpool head to Ellen Road on Monday with a chance to do something they haven't managed all season. That is, win 4 Premier League games in a row. The Reds will be without Joe Gomez, Jordan Henderson, Joel Matip and Virgil van Dijk, while Leeds forwards Rafinha and Rodrigo are both doubts and will undergo late fitness tests. Leeds have won just one of their last 11 home games against Liverpool in all competitions, and Egyptian playmaker Mo Salah could become the first Liverpool player to reach 20 goals in 3 separate Premier League campaigns.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Paris Saint-Germain stayed in the hunt for a fourth successive French League title after Mauro Icardi scored in the dying seconds of stoppage time to secure a dramatic 3-2 home win over Saint-Etienne on Sunday. The Parisian substitute headed home Angel Di Maria's cross in the 95th minute to cap a frantic last 12 minutes in which all 5 goals were scored. French star of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe's quick-fire double had overturned French-born Gabonese footballer Denis Bouanga's opener. The French footballer of Algerian descent Romain Hamouma looked to have denied the hosts a win. The result leaves PSG 1 point behind leaders Lille, who dropped 2 precious points in a tight title race, and they secured a 1-1 draw at home against Montpellier. third place Monaco won 3-0 at struggling Bordeaux thanks to goals from Kevin Volan, Stefan Jovetic and Portuguese footballer of Cape Verdean descent Gelson Martins to stay a point ahead of fourth place Lyon, who secured a 2-1 win at Nantes with two goals from Netherlands forward of Ghanaian descent Memphis Depay.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Moving on to the Spanish La Liga, Real Madrid missed the chance to once again close the gap on Atletico Madrid to 1 point, as they were held to a 0-0 draw by relegation-threatened Getafe. Angel Correa and Marcus Llorente both scored twice, while Yannick Carrasco added another, as Atletico Madrid strengthened their grip at the top of La Liga with a convincing 5-0 win over struggling Eibar. In a compelling La Liga title race, Atletico now have their destiny in their own hands, but may need to win all their remaining games to secure a top spot. Six-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi also scored twice, and Frankie de Jong had a goal and two assists as Barcelona beat Athletic Bilbao 4-0 in Saturday's Copa del Rey final. Antoine Griezmann also scored, and Jordi Alba had two assists, while US men's national football player Serginho Dest played 74 minutes in becoming the first American to win the Copa del Rey. Finally, in Italy, Inter's winning streak came to an end at the Diego Armando Maradona Stadium after a 1-1 draw against Napoli. Lorenzo Insigne's cross was put into his own net by the Nerazzurri captain Handanovic, giving the home side the lead in the first half, before Christian Eriksen equalized in the second half to secure the draw. Juventus' top four ambitions were also dealt a major blow as they conceded late to slip to a 1-0 defeat against Champions League hopefuls Atalanta. AC Milan also returned to winning ways with a 2-1 victory over Genoa at San Siro. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Triathlete Alistair Brownlee believed the 2016 Rio Games would be his last Olympics appearance. But VOA's Gwen Uten tells us the two-time gold medalist is training for his return to the world stage in Tokyo. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Prince Nesta. Great Britain's Alistair Brownlee is the only athlete to hold two Olympic titles in the triathlon. He won gold in 2012 at the London Olympics and then again 4 years later in Rio de Janeiro. Brownlee had no intention of appearing at this year's Tokyo Games to defend his medals, but the allure of the world's greatest sporting event proved to be irresistible. And he tells Reuters News he's ready to go the Olympic distance one more time.
It definitely wasn't the plan to come back and try and do Olympic distance triathlon. I was pretty sure that 2016 was going to be my last year racing short distance racing. And definitely when we got through to about 2018, I was very sure and I was ready to completely move on. But then kind of something happened that I started feeling kind of better again. My training was going well. My body got really healthy. And I was enjoying training. I was enjoying the quicker stuff. I was running a bit quicker again. And I thought, actually, I've got the chance to do it.
The Olympic triathlon event consists of three components, a nearly 1 mile swim, a 24 mile bike ride, and a 6 mile run, distances Brownlee considers to be quite short. Since winning his last gold medal, he switched to long course racing. In 2017, he secured a place in the Ironman 70.3 World Championship, a competition also known as the Half Ironman, with a total distance distance course of 70 miles. Then in 2020, just before the coronavirus curtailed the season, Brownlee qualified for the Ironman World Championship, a grueling 140-mile race that he finished with a record time of 7 hours, 45 minutes, and 21 seconds. He now has a goal to finish the championship course in under 7 hours, a full 35 minutes under the world record. And Brownlee says with the steady improvements he's made in long-distance competitions, he believes he can go the distance in record time and claim another Olympic medal along the way.
I ended up doing quite a lot of, competitive races at the end of last year, and improved steadily from them. I think I was 9th or 10th in Hamburg, right up to coming second in the last World Cup of the year, where I had a sprint finish with the world champion in Vincent Louis. So I was literally seconds off beating the best guy in the world over a sprint distance, which isn't my thing anyway. And in the Olympics, Olympic distance, a really hot race is definitely way more in my favour than that kind of racing. So, whether it's changed, I don't know. But, from that, I got a lot of confidence that, I can be close to being right up there. And that's where I take my belief from, that I have got a chance of winning and winning a medal maybe.
However, Brownlee admits the switch to short-distance racing leading up to the Tokyo Games has been tough.
The short-distance racing is, for me, the hard form of racing. It's, it's really tight. There's not much room for error. You've got to be really on top of your game. It's tough to train for. It's risky. That combination of, doing a lot of kind of training, 30-odd hours a week, and trying to run fast at the same time, I think is quite high risk, so... it's tough.
But Brownlee says he's making the most of his attempt to win a third Olympic gold medal.
I thought, actually, do you know what? What's the worst that can happen? At the time, I trained for this for the next 4 or 5 months for everything I've got at it, and I qualify, and that'd be amazing to go and to go to the Olympics again, one step at a time. And I believe I can do it, and I believe I can be in the shape to be there. Or I don't qualify and I go and carry on doing long distance for the season.
If Brownlee qualifies, he will take his mark at the men's triathlon event on July 26th. The women's triathlon will begin the following day, and be on the lookout for the start of the mixed team relay that will make its debut in Tokyo. And that is all from me, Prince Nesta. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. To some tennis news, Roger Federer has confirmed he will play in this year's French Open as he continues his return from injury. The 39-year-old is making his comeback after two knee operations and has not played a Grand Slam since January 2020. The 20-time Grand Slam winner won his only French Open title in 2009. After losing to Novak Djokovic in the 2020 Australian Open, he had an operation on his right knee, and after a further setback was ruled out of the entire coronavirus heat season. He had hoped to return at this year's Australian Open in January, but failed to regain fitness. He sat out three consecutive French Opens from 2016 because of injury and a wish to manage his workload, but returned in 2019, reaching the semi-finals. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Max Verstappen took his first victory of the 2021 season at a chaotic Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix, which saw Lewis Hamilton recover from a costly mistake midway through the race to finish second. The Red Bull driver, who started third on a wet track, took the lead on the opening lap of the race by barreling past Hamilton at the Tamburello Chicane. Verstappen then had to contend with drying track conditions, a red flag stoppage midway through, and a spin just before the race restart to take victory. Hamilton had to fight back from 9th to 2nd in the closing stages. He picked up the bonus point for fastest lap, meaning he retains the lead in the championship. And that wraps up the April 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Mukbilia Barrow. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Prince Nestor, sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.